Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Former South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley in federal court arguing against attorneys for current South Dakota Attorney General Jason Roundsburg and Secretary of State Steve Barnett. That's alongside a separate but complementary lawsuit brought by ballot question advocate and blogger Corey Heidelberger. It's the debate over the constitutionality of initiated Measure 24. Plus, Governor Kristi Noem isn't welcome in the Pine Ridge Reservation. Let's bring on today's Dakota political junkies. First, let's welcome former legislator and South Dakota newspaper Hall of Famer Noel Hamel. He's with us from our SDPB Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in downtown Rapid City SDPB studio. Hi, Noel. Welcome.
Hi, Lori. Great to be here.
Joining us by phone is managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion, Roger Whittle. Hey, Roger. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here with Noel.
All right. So as a quick recap to bring everybody up, initiated Measure 24 was approved by voters in the 2018 election. It was a proposed ballot initiative from State Representative Mark Mickelson. Two lawsuits saying that it's unconstitutional, one coming from Corey Heidelberger as the plaintiff, and the other coming from plaintiffs, South Dakota Newspaper Association, Retailers Association, Broadcasters Association, Chamber Ballot Action Committee, and Americans for Prosperity, as well as individual Thomas Barnett Jr., former Attorney General Marty Jackley is on that case as a plaintiff. And let's start there. Noel, let's start with you, because one of the noteworthy aspects of this litigation is that former Attorney General Marty Jackley is really and David Owen with this the Chamber of Commerce on the same side as Corey Heidelberger. you don't see that every day, do you, Noel Hamel?
Fascinating stuff, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. What does that tell you about this case, that people from different sides of the aisle are really arguing that initiated Measure 24 is unconstitutional?
I think there's a lot of components. Interesting components to this case. You know, voters in South Dakota, you mentioned this, I think it was, 55-45, that voters favored this initiative.
Yes.
Mark Mickelson spoke for it, had something going earlier, but spoke for it. The governor was on point for this initiated measure. And the thrust of it was that, hey,
Governor Dennis Dugard.
Yeah. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. Dennis Dugard, they said, we just don't think it's right that all this out-of-state money has such an influence on initiated measures in South Dakota. And most South Dakotans, as evidenced by the poll numbers, agreed with that. But as we know, that doesn't have any bearing on whether a measure is constitutional or not. And I would be very surprised if Judge Kornman rules in favor of the state on this. I think that there's enough arguments against it that he likely will find in favor of those who oppose this bill or this initiated measure in this lawsuit. The fact that Mr. Jackley took it on, who, as you know, was a primary candidate against Kristi Noem and was defeated, is in league with some liberals on this bill. I think just demonstrates the broadness and the importance of the bill. The South Dakota Newspaper Association is normally doesn't endorse these kinds of things. It leaves it up to individual newspapers to editorialize on policy questions. But in this instance, the newspapers and the broadcasters decided to get on board. Now, let's not overlook one thing, and I don't want this to sound cynical, but there's a lot of money involved here. I mean, the money involved in this decision is huge. Millions of dollars pour into South Dakota every election cycle. A lot of it goes to ballot issues. And who are the beneficiaries of this influx? Primarily media, radio, television, internet sites, newspapers. So it's, you know, there is that aspect of it as well. But I should just be still and let Roger take a crack at this. He's young. He's more up to date. He's an active newspaper man.
Roger, there's more than one thing happening here, and Corey Heidelberger is really making this argument about the First Amendment and free speech, and then on the other camp, you know, people like David Owen and even the South Dakota Newspaper Association talking about commerce and, you know, how not only from a First Amendment free speech standpoint, but regarding the Commerce Clause. How do you sort of see some of these arguments, Roger?
Well, first of all, it's been about 30 years since anyone called me young, so thank you for that, Noel. I appreciate it.
It's relative.
But to answer your question, yeah, there are so many reasons why this initiated measure is probably going to lose this lawsuit. And when the Newspaper Association got on board, you know, Noel mentioned how much money is involved in groups advertising for or against these initiated measures, but I'd like to believe that it's more of a case of what is right constitutionally in allowing free speech than for my money news making newspaper. Although that is a good thing these days, but it's a very interesting case, and I, like Noel said, I would be very surprised if the judge did not side with the people bringing the lawsuit against this initiated measure.
Now, on the ballot, you know, with the Attorney General's explanation, it said, you know, for voters who are careful at remembering these things, this may be challenged, or this is likely to be challenged on the grounds of, you know, the Constitution. Noel, why did Representative Mark Mickelson, former Governor Dennis Dugard, why were they so invested in it? And then the next question that will follow is, why did the voters say yes to it? Let's start with why were Mark Mickelson and Dennis Dugard, you know, so financially invested in this, if everybody sort of knew it was going to be challenged constitutionally.
Well, I wished I knew, and I did reach out to Mark on that point, but I wasn't able to talk to him. I remember him being interviewed during that whole process. And, okay, let's keep in mind one thing. It could be challenged. That was a given. It did. I don't think he or the governor ever said, "Yeah, it can be challenged, and we'll likely lose the case." But these types of things are commonly challenged. The court had ruled previously that political speech is protected speech. Even those who advance this cause recognize that money is money and advertising are political speech. The court has ruled on that, but I think that Mickelson and Dugard were trying to address the challenge of South Dakota trying to be independent, if not autonomous, in solving its own problems, and this idea of millions of dollars rolling in from out of state from people that have no other connection other than to try to control the political agenda was objectionable to them and to most South Dakotans.
But and my follow-up question for that, Noel, would be, before we get to the voters, they wanted to keep this outside money away from the ballot question process, but not necessarily away from political action committees or individual candidates. What can we tell about the motivation from, you know, the scope of Initiated Measure 24 and how it was written in the first place, Noel?
Well, maybe one step at a time. I think they knew obviously they knew it would be challenged. If you want to try to control one small part of what you consider a problem is, you take a rifle approach, not a shotgun approach. And the First Amendment, although the exceptions to it are many, there are so many exceptions to the First Amendment that I wouldn't want to try to enumerate them here. But my guess is, and I didn't talk to either the governor or Mr. Mickelson about that, is that I don't see anything, nefarious or deeply political about the approach. I think that they were trying to respond to what they felt, South Dakota felt about being influenced from outside.
Roger, your thoughts on that? South Dakota being influenced from the outside, but not with money to candidates, just with money toward the ballot initiatives.
Well, I was just about to say the exact same thing, that I think the reason that the politicians got behind this is because it was so strongly supported by the people. I mean, South Dakotans really take pride in their ability to bring ballot measures easily to a vote. And when they see what starts out as a good idea, that's something they want, and they see millions of dollars and millions of dollars of out-of-state money coming in and running, you know, what some consider deceiving ads to defeat these initiated measures, they take offense and they want something done. And I think politicians just naturally feel a duty then to jump on board and try to help those people achieve those goals.
Mm. So the fight is not, obviously we don't know what the ruling will be from the judge yet, but Roger, the fight is not over either way, is it? No matter what the ruling is, there'll be another, this isn't the first time that lawmakers have brought legislation trying to address ballot questions and how they're offered in the state. It's ongoing, right?
Right. Right. I'm sure they will. They will attempt to, fix this measure to make it more constitutionally palatable, and it's an effort that will continue as long as the people feel that they don't want this out-of-state influence changing their political landscape in South Dakota. So yeah, the lawsuit will not end this issue, I don't believe.
Let's talk a little bit about the news coming regarding Governor Kristi Noem's relationship with tribal nations, particularly the banning of her from setting foot in the Pine Ridge Reservation. What went wrong here, Noel Hamel? What happened to cause this kind of action by the tribe?
You know, as so often happens, I think in these cases, it's what was the line from Cool Hand Luke? A movie that neither one of you may remember, but some of your listeners might.
We're too young.
The famous quote was, "What we have here is a failure to communicate."
Right.
And that bill was those bills, I should say. I think there were two of them. Were pushed through 11th hour. It seems like they maybe even had to suspend the rules to introduce the bills. I think it was after the deadline to introduce new bills. The governor, I believe, should have taken an initiative and made sure that the tribes were kept in the loop. Now, she knew that the tribes opposed the project. She knows that it's just not something that they would support. But nevertheless, she also knew that these bills would be out in the public domain. Why wouldn't you try to preempt some of the opposition by sitting down with tribal leaders and say, hey, you're not going to like these bills, but I'm doing it not to limit free speech, but to try to protect taxpayers and taxing districts from expense if a peaceful protest gets out of hand. Why wouldn't you go ahead and do that? The second thing is, though, as a political strategy, from the tribe's perspective, it makes no sense to me at all. It's just silly. I mean, for the tribes to say, well, we're not going to let the governor in. I mean, really?
Well, it's a strong statement about how they felt about it. Roger, let's bring you into the conversation in our remaining minute or so, because it is a pretty strong statement, and other tribes are waiting to hear what happens next, but indicating some initial support for the idea against this Keystone XL, riot boosting, in quotations, legislation. Roger, do you think there's a reason for coming out so strongly and saying this is how much we believe about that? We believe in this.
Yeah, I think pretty much all the tribes in South Dakota are backing what they did here. And a little background on this. This was spurred by all the expenses that North Dakota incurred during pipeline protests up there, and the governor was simply trying to avoid those kind of taxpayer expenditures here in South Dakota. And yeah, I agree. If the governor would have gone to the tribes and said, this is what I'm planning to doing, instead of kind of surprising them like this. Maybe some of this could have been avoided. But, yeah, and I also think that banning the governor from a reservation, yeah, it makes great headlines, but I'm not sure it's going to serve much purpose other than that.
You don't think that she has some work to do and that that work will be done differently because of the strength of the statement is what I'm asking. Roger.
I think that the governor has been, in my opinion, has been pretty fair with the tribes so far in her administration. I mean, so showing some real compassion for them. So, I don't know what's going to happen here. It's interesting. I'm curious to see how the governor is going to react, if she's going to try to reach out and mend some fences. Right. She said she would respect the ban for the moment. So
we will be talking about this again in the future. Roger Whittle, managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. Thanks, Roger.
Thank you.
And Noel Hamill, former lawmaker and South Dakota Newspaper Hall of Famer. Thanks so much, Noel.
Thank you.